He's not as agitated too.
He's always.
That's because I haven't had to spend that much time with you.
That and you also didn't have late shows all week long.
There it is. We're going to start the podcast off with that right there.
Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
What's happening, my friends? It is the B Show, a wrestling podcast. A little late week this week because somebody had to have the belly problems. So, of course, we are now here. You know, we should have just... Well, we couldn't do it. You were sick, Dixon.
I'm still sick.
And, Jay, you were the belly problems.
Yes.
And here I am just at work and, you know, neither of you... Well, you came into work a couple days, but...
I was here every day, bro.
You were.
I might not have stayed the entire day, but I came in every day.
You're right. I missed two days, and I'm glad I did, because you guys wouldn't have wanted me here.
No, you're right. Well, you could have been like a certain somebody else that works with us and blows up the toilet every day, and then we could have made fun of you.
I'll tell you, man, I do not wish a stomach virus on anyone.
No?
I mean, well, okay, maybe there's a couple people, like maybe a handful.
If I need to lose some weight, though, that's the way to go. It comes out the top or the bottom.
Dude, I had some kielbasa that night, and, like, coming up, I'm, like, choking on it. I'm sitting there on the toilet.
There is nothing good about that conversation right now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like that scene in Private Parts?
See, yeah, exactly.
How far can you get it down your throat, Jay?
Yeah, exactly.
I will tell you, that's
a way to start off a Friday podcast. I set myself up on that one.
I gave myself sort of an unintentional stomach issue last night because I ate an entire canary melon and cantaloupe.
You dummy.
Why in the blue moon did
he
do that?
He loves it.
Yeah, well, you know, the wacky tobacco.
When you burn the taller,
yeah, the munchies.
You tend to get a little.
Yeah, but that's
hungry.
Not even like the standard munchies. You went to like a melon.
Well, he can't have the standard munchies anymore.
I can't have chips and stuff, dude.
Oh, of any kind?
No, nothing deep fried. Like only like once.
What about
a month?
Like those baked chips that are pretty good? Like you can get baked Cheetos, half the fat, dairy, pretty tasty.
Have you ever been around him when he eats stuff he's not supposed to?
What's that? No, I haven't.
It's not pretty.
It's worse than me.
It's much worse than you.
Like why does he like turn into like a
he takes
gargoyle?
It like he deals with it, but it's like, yo, I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, all right, dude. Okay.
You all right? Yep, I'm good.
Yeah. Paint peeler is what they call it. Yo, you give me anything from Arby's and I will make your life miserable for days.
That is the worst fast food place in the world, Arby's.
You know, it's just us talking about poop and kielbasa. It's all good.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we move forward, it's Smoothie, it's Dixon, it's Veals. We are the beach. Did you really? Yeah, you might. That's done. You might as well forget about that for a while.
That's why it was said.
Yeah. let's get right into it. Extreme Rules. I watched it in a fast forward motion on Monday morning because I totally forgot that it was on Sunday night, to be honest with you.
Well, part of it's just they didn't do a very good job of selling the show. Let's be honest.
Well, there wasn't any matches in there that I cared to see.
Agreed, but with 5 hours of TV, I mean, they didn't really build much.
The
build, truthfully, that was biggest on television was for the Jericho Ambrose thing.
Yeah, which was terrible.
And it was cartoony.
Really?
And...
Well, come on, you can't say over the Reigns and AJ, and that Fatal 4-Way was booked pretty well.
No.
I'm just talking about how they sold it on TV, on their properties. They didn't do a great job of selling it. And I think part of the reason that they're not doing a great job of selling it is because the pay-per-views aren't available on most cable distributors
anymore. So they don't
care. So they're basically just shilling the network, and they feel like if you have the network, then you're going to watch the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yep.
No, so you watched it fast-forwarding on Monday?
After I saw that Rollins came back, I was like, okay, I got to go watch that part.
This is how I watched it.
Yep.
I started it, and then... Because my buddy, who I share the network with, wasn't watching it. And then he texted me. He's like, yo, get your ass off. And it was right as the main event started.
Ah,
I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Was that where the kibasi came in?
Yeah, no.
Like, get your ass off?
Kibasa was Monday night after Raw. I was all upset. We'll get into that another time. So anyway, so then I had to watch the main event later on. I think I watched it on Monday as well, even though I knew Rollins was there.
I watched it Monday afternoon when I was on the air. I'll be honest, just that... Him coming back, we all knew he was going to get a pop. But then Monday night, I loved it. I loved Monday night exactly. I knew he was going to go back to that, you know, bad guy. You know what I mean? But the only problem I have now is you got to get Reigns away from the title picture. And you put him and AJ against each other. Because it's got to
be a killer match.
There's got to be a build up for WrestleMania. Am I wrong? For next year?
I don't think you're wrong. I don't know that it's going to be for the title, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Just, with you got Cena coming back, you got Lesnar coming back. Yeah. I think that pushes a lot of the smaller guys back down to the U.S. and IC titles.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't see...
Who wants to see Cena with the... They're not going to break the 16-time thing as long as Triple H is there. So who wants to see Cena with that title?
I think Cena will break that. Really? I really do, but I think it'll be like his last match or on his last final run. Right. He's going
to
have
drop
one final glory
to
run.
Triple H.
Yeah, exactly.
When Triple H is 55.
Exactly. Yeah. But
he lost to a 55-year-old, man. Way to work.
I mean, yeah, with Brock, who knows? I mean, he's always technically in the picture, but I agree. Listen, I agree that Reigns shouldn't be in it, but they have him. By not turning Rollins' face, they had, they had such a money angle with Rollins coming back, the big pop baby face, going against what 75% of the crowd doesn't want to see as champ with Reigns. You finally turn Reigns, and you have them go at it. But for some reason, Vince has got to hold on to his boy Reigns and try to say...
I don't think it's his proverbial F you to guys like us. To guys,
and specifically to Daniel Bryan.
It's that F you. Yeah. Reigns is my guy. He's going to be my guy. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the crowd thinks.
Well,
I still think Rollins is going to get cheered.
He was. He absolutely.
Especially
is.
Versus Reigns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
On the paper,
you can put
yeah.
anybody out there versus Reigns, and they're going to get cheered.
Yeah.
Right.
And Vince just came out and said, "You might not like him. You might love him. You might hate him. But at the end of the day, everyone's passionate about him."
About who?
About Reigns.
No way.
They are, because if you look at it, he gets the biggest boos and people cheer for him. I mean, if they didn't like him, they just would sit on their hands like they did during the Jericho Ambrose match.
He's so bad on the mic. It's just...
He's not Charlotte bad on the mic, but he's still pretty bad.
Oh, Charlotte.
Charlotte was awesome Monday night.
No.
She for Charlotte? For Charlotte. I'm not saying... I thought she did it very well.
I just saw the audience throw her off three separate times.
Yeah.
I did see the audience throw her off, but what I did like compared to the time after Mania where she was like lost, she actually interacted and got them to shut up and then went back. I'm seeing confidence building her. I'm not saying that she is...
I'll give you credit that she's better, but like she's got to learn that whole don't acknowledge the what change.
Correct.
Can I ask a quick question, like off topic? Are we going to talk about The Rock soon or something? Because you took your wedding ring off.
Well, we got jokes. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's get right into the Pebbles Corner right now.
All right, so.
Sorry, babe, it's back on.
Yeah, it's back. Who cares? I don't ever wear my wedding ring. Anyway,
mine's tattooed on.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so bad, but it doesn't bother you. It's annoying. Wedding rings are
annoying. Oh, okay. Wait, little side chain. Since we're talking about wedding rings, and this was in the BS News report, but I'll bring it up now, that your boy Del Rio and Paige
got a tattoo. I saw that.
She got a tattoo that says Poppy on her ring finger.
He must be tapping that right.
Like, not only that, but here's the thing. They
I can tell you
picture.
From experience that 40-something guys and 20-something girls are a fantastic match.
I thought he was going to say, I can tell you from experience, Del Rio is really, really good.
Wow.
No, but here's the thing. Del Rio tweets a picture.
Yep.
In the tat parlor. Not maybe he just got a tat, but he's shirtless like he just got out of a wrestling match in between both girls. You know you're super confident with your body when you're just like in public.
He's in the best shape of his life.
His shape really is insane. I think he's in the best shape on the roster right now. If you looked at body-wise, he doesn't look like he's on... I mean, he probably is, but he doesn't look like he's on anything roided, but he's like super cut, got that tan.
Listen,
man, props to him, man.
Listen,
he got Paige
he was
on
gone,
arm.
He had that good Colombian South American shit, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
cheap stuff.
Yeah. They make really good stuff too. So obviously Rollins coming back, probably the biggest thing in the last easily month, I'd say.
Oh God, yeah.
And let's just say that this podcast, and more importantly, Dixon predicted that. He said he had no reason why he felt it, but he felt that Rollins was going to show up at Extreme Rules.
You
so
did.
Props on that
yep.
when he came out. I thought that they might hold him off for Raw or a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But nah, dude, you called it. Great job. Nobody was calling that, so I don't want to hear all those people out there, oh, I thought Rollins was going to come out. No. BS. Dixon was the only one who had it.
So, and then you see AJ kind of stay on the face end and the club going another way.
I think it's partially because Balor's going to come up.
Well, that's why, yeah. I honestly thought Balor was going to come up at that moment.
Which, and I'll finish.
No, go ahead.
Which goes into another news segment, so I'll say it now. Balor tweets out a picture of Anderson and Gallows, like from Raw, and AJ, and he's standing in the middle with a big old smile on his face, dressed all black from this red carpet event that he was on, like basically saying, facing AJ. It's got to be happening.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
So WWE tweeted today.
Yep.
They had this shed that's like a picture of it. And here, let me, I want to read it right because I want you guys to see if you think it's Baylor.
It's 3.5 pages. What typeset is that?
I did,
He shrunk it down.
No, I did. That's 12. That's 12 font, baby. Double space paragraphs.
Didn't we tell you 18?
Listen. So they tweeted a pic of a shed like in the dark that looks super creepy. And with the tag, it said locked away, hashtag hatch. So my question was to you guys, who do you think this is? You think it's like the demon Baylor coming up? Or do you know of somebody else that's
No, the first guy that's coming out is going to be, he's going to come out in his demon character.
So you think that's like a little a hint towards it?
Or it could be something about the Wyatts.
That's what I was originally thinking.
Yeah, it could be.
I think there's going to be a Brody's, Sister Abigail.
Brody's almost ready to come back.
No.
Is he?
No.
No, he's not coming back till September.
The earliest, really? October, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I think with Bray on the verge of coming back, and now he has Strowman and Rowan to fill out that four, that they're going to introduce a Sister Abigail character.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be it. Cool.
Yeah.
Anybody, you think anything for Sister Abigail?
You know I don't follow the broads. So whoever's good.
Let's be real.
NXT.
You do follow the broads. You just don't watch them wrestle. Like, you know who's on the roster and who they got coming up.
I don't know who any of the broads at NXT. I mean, I know who the broads at NXT are.
Broads.
I just don't necessarily know which one of them is going to be repackaged as Sister Abigail.
Yeah, we'll see.
Definitely won't be Nia Jackson. It definitely won't be Asuka.
Do you think it'll be black chick or white chick?
Oh, God, if it was a black chick, that'd be great.
I hope it's a black chick. That would be
amazing.
I think
it would make sense, though, right?
Yeah.
It would be amazing. You know what I
mean? Yeah. It would, well, because you're talking, like, if you think Bayu and you're thinking that kind of character.
I'm thinking Lisa Bonet from Angel Heart, bro.
Something like that. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Such a great movie.
Yeah.
Lisa Bonet, man, that was in her prime.
Right. I know, you're right.
Same color as Dwayne. I'm going to take my wedding ring off.
Wedding ring off. How you doing?
All right, so bro, I know you have a ton of news, but we're gonna kind of break out on some of that. Obviously, Cody Rhodes, Eden, both gone. Asked for the release was granted. Adam Rose gone now officially.
Mm-hmm.
But
who asked for his release as well? Whether or not you believe it or not,
they were gonna let him go anyway.
You don't grab your wife by the face.
Yeah, just saying. So the Cody Rhodes thing, which I don't think anybody is really surprised by.
It sucks, man.
But I think they should have let him go back to the Cody Rhodes character.
According to Meltzer,
yep.
From the Wrestling Observer, mm-hmm. Which is, 50-50 decent.
Yeah, we're going to be the new Meltzer, damn it.
No, we're not.
Oh,
I don't want
God.
That.
Anyway.
So basically, Meltzer reported that right before WrestleMania, mm-hmm. they had a conversation. Cody said, I want to go back to being Cody Rhodes.
Right.
He was told, okay, cool, go ahead. And he ordered a bunch of ring gear because Cody's that nerd, if you noticed over the years, that has really
He'll throw into everything.
He actually paid to make the Intercontinental Championship white again. Like, he took that out of his pocket. So he's a dude that has an infinite amount of respect for the business.
Right.
To not let him... especially as a lower mid-card guy, not at least have that to honor his father, because it's not like Dustin's going to go back to being Dustin.
Right.
He's always going to be Gold Dust. Let's let the Rhodes legacy live on through Cody, even if he is only going to be a C-plus player.
Sure.
To go a little further on that, supposedly the plan was to turn him right before Mania or have him go back to the Cody Rhodes and Vincent Triple H were cool with it, and then at the very last minute, Vince supposedly said,
because
no,
they
I
thought
want you to stay with Stardust.
Because Stephen Arnell stuff, which ended up not happening due to contractual stuff. So then when Cody went back to ask, he was told, no, you're going to be Gold Dust, and he said, okay, let me go then. And you're talking about a kid, and I'll be honest, man, the one thing that I hate the most about Dean Ambrose is the light he leaves on punches. And for those of you out there, that means, like, you can tell that the punch isn't real.
Oh, he missed a bunch of them on Monday.
And that's Jericho being gun-shy, too, at his age and not wanting another black guy before
shots.
He goes out with Fozzy.
Yeah, right.
But Cody, in my opinion, throws the best worked punch in the business. Hands down, by and far, and Bret Hart actually backed me up on his podcast earlier this week, and that was the point that he made, is like, here's this kid that's like third generation, and absolutely destroys everybody else on work rate in the ring, and you're going to let him walk away.
Well, the frustrating thing is, I'm not saying that they should have capped on Dusty's passing, but there was a perfect time where people really wanted to get around the Rhodes family and yep. Cody and Goldust, and to not do anything and just have them go out there and job week in and week out, or
you know why.
Be on... Why?
Dusty was not a Vince creation.
No.
Notice yeah. what they clowned him when
he came
in.
Yeah, with the polka dots.
With the polka dots and everything. You know what I mean? So, like, Vince is always very protective of that. If I didn't build it, it's never going to get pushed all the way through.
Wait, right? So then... So that's
why you're never going to see AJ with a world title reign.
Nope.
Which is the difficult part is because you always hear now that Vince and Triple H are the ones that are pulling the strings on the creative, especially for Raw. Uh-huh. So as much as you hear Triple H and Dusty and everybody how much they love Dusty, I'm not saying he had to get
they
a
love Dusty as much as you think they love Dusty.
Exactly. I'm not saying he should have had a championship run, but at least have something that the crowd, even if it was just for a month, that would have got behind. I agree right. with you. Like
my whole point in this is that Zack Ryder, in my opinion, is kind of the drizzling shits.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a lot of look over substance, and the fact of the matter is you gave that clown a WrestleMania moment, but you can't do it for Cody.
Yeah.
The problem, though, if you're talking about who they are in the ring, yes, but I mean... He got
though.
More pop
Zach,
than
Zach,
Zach
built
got
himself
yeah.
before he got anything.
He had his fan
as a Long Island IZ, you know, doing the stuff on YouTube before YouTube became like the it thing to do.
Yeah. Now, do you know I think mean? If Stardust turned to Cody and then Cody got that Zack Ryder spot at Mania, would people have gone crazy? Hell yeah, they would have. Absolutely.
You know what? And this is just me being me. It would have been cool after the passing of Dusty to see Dustin, Cody as brothers. With the Rhodes name, go out and make a run, mm-hmm. you know, as you know what I'm saying, a la, you know, like Von Erich style, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And get that whole look and
Von Erich's Guerrero.
Yeah, like let them roll, yeah. man. Like, and even let if them be themselves. We all know that Dustin is not good, but the guy can wrestle now. You
Here's
know what
I'll say,
he
man.
Did in the past.
At age 46 or 47, which yeah. I think Dustin is right now,
yeah. he's up there.
In the best shape of his life,
yeah.
doing the best work in ring that he's done in his career.
Absolutely.
And still getting pops.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
despite the fact that he's mired with Ron Killings.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be, what, one of the longest running characters besides Kane and Taker right now, right?
Well, I mean, you got to remember he's left a few times.
Yeah, but I mean, but overall, I mean,
yeah.
he started 93, 94.
No.
No, like
96.
96?
Well, remember, no. 90, it was like 95.
Yeah, I want to say
because he got booted and went to WCW. They tried to do that Black Rain character and he crapped all over.
He was there before, like,
I think that was later 90s, though.
Was that like 99?
Because his first real feud was with Ahmed Johnson, and that was 95, 96 ish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but he's definitely had his time. I mean,
well, he also had that run with Piper, which was really good
yep.
early on in his career. And then as Dustin Rhodes, he had one of the worst matches ever on the back of a semi-truck with, who the hell was that? The Blacktop Bully.
Oh, jeez, I don't remember that.
WCW, like, Stampede 94 or something like that.
See, they had such great, WCW had such great names for... pay-per-views, man.
And awesome concepts, but yeah. just never a deep enough roster to really pull it off.
Right.
Like that World War III thing with the three
dude.
Rings was amazing.
Awesome.
But like, you know that like Viano number 7 isn't going to win. Like,
yeah.
why are you putting him in the match?
Right.
You know, like,
right.
I know you need some guys to get yeah. tossed early, but.
I know we've said it before. War Games by far was one of the awesomest.
Still my favorite concepts. Still
ever.
My favorite concept. Yeah. That and the Royal Rumble are my two favorite
yeah.
style of
well,
matches.
Well, the way the Royal Rumble used to run.
With a full minute and
yeah.
20 guys.
The way it
guys.
Is now, you're just like, eh.
You're just, yeah.
It's just like, oh, who's next? Who's going to be lucky? Who's coming? You know what I mean? But yeah, definitely Great American Bash. I mean, they themed them right.
Well, you remember
when
right.
the
Great American Bash was actually like a touring wrestling package?
Yeah.
Where they would go from Memorial Day to Labor Day and every show was a Great American Bash.
Yep.
And the roster would just switch like a little bit
right.
here and there. So like, you would pretty much always get Flair in the main.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you would get a tag team match. But they
yep.
would they would
they
do
ran
a good
south.
Job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
They
and
would
then,
do a great job of rematching.
And then the payoff was the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember that. It was awesome.
Well, I just looked it up. I mean, the B-Show Wrestling Podcast knows their history. He is 47 years old, and we were right, 95 is yeah. when the Goldust, September of 95 is when he debuted as yeah. Goldust. So he's been wrestling since 88 is when
Milena.
He debuted.
Yeah.
I mean, so 88, I mean, this is 2016. I mean, but even from 95 to 2016, well, even if he was. Finally
didn't you graduate high school in 88?
No. 96, yeah. Actually.
When they when he finally kicked the habit, I think just that kidding. Was the. And then getting with DDP was definitely the. Because he does the yoga stuff. So.
Yeah.
No, I wish they would do that. All right, moving on. And I think we don't really have too much. So let's
well,
go.
Well, you guys, if you. I know you guys fast forward it. You have to watch that.
I watched the four way.
Dude, that match was amazing.
Yeah.
That
was what
amazing.
The interwebs is for.
Yeah. Well, no, Smooth said he just fast forwarded. Definitely check that out when you get a chance, man. It's worth the 22 minutes, whatever the match
I'll
is.
Watch
it's.
It.
To me, it was the match of the year.
I'm just
that
listen.
I've seen.
I'm just happy that they're having these younger guys do the work. I'm tired of seeing guys like Jericho. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, and I know I've been on the Ambrose train before. I'm over it. You know what I mean? I would like to see.
Welcome to to the rest stop with Dixon and I.
I think that they just kind of ruined the whole thought process. I think that they've for the last 2 years they've ruined this whole. What he could be, you know what I'm saying? Like the, you know, when they left the Shield, that was a real chance for him to strike out. I mean, he's we all know he's a great in ring talent. You know what I mean? But his character, I don't get it.
Well,
man.
That had to be one of the hardest matches to watch because you see two guys that are trying, but the concept and the story behind the match,
yeah, the tax,
in
everything's
the ring,
been done before.
It seemed like a
but
TNA
it made
match.
No sense. Here you are, you guys are going for a kendo stick when you have the barbed wire or the tax literally right there in the ring, but yet they're climbing up to go get a mop
yeah,
or a
some
plant.
Of the spots. See,
it didn't make no sense.
Like, at least when we saw matches like that with Taker and Mankind. And Mick, like the spots, they went into them. It
there was
wasn't
a psychology
the
to
other
it.
The other part of that is you have two guys in Taker and Foley that both understood ring psychology, which is, oh, we're not going to use the tax yet. We should probably throw them to ringside.
Right.
So that they're not on camera the entire time while we're going for
exactly.
another weapon.
Right.
Where you've got Ambrose, who grew up in CZW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let's be honest. That's, you know, it's combat zone wrestling. It's
right.
all garbage wrestling.
Right.
100% garbage wrestling. So he never learned ring psychology. And you've got Jericho, who's just trying to get to his Fozzie dates.
Yep.
Without getting kicked in the face by Big Cass again. You know what I mean? Like,
he's
just trying to walk out of there with the least amount of damage he can. And the one thing that I will say about Jericho that actually popped me on Monday night was all the Band-Aids.
Yeah, that was
you know what I mean?
Sell.
It was pretty funny. It
was
pretty funny.
Sell. But why, here's a question. Why is Jericho even doing that kind of bump? What does he need it in character? I got into this with people on Twitter. Like, why do you need it? And then people were saying, oh, well, it helps put over Ambrose. And I was like, what is the one thing you're going to remember from this match? That the old dude got tax in his back. Nobody's going to remember Ambrose.
You want to know the secret of the tax, bro?
Yeah, I actually do. What is it?
All right, about 70% of what's in that bag are just the backs. Because if you're sweaty and you're covered
they're
in Bengay,
stick.
They're going to stick to your skin and make it look like you're impaled by them.
Yep.
Dude, I did not know that.
Yeah. Just a little something.
Love this podcast, man.
Now
that was awesome.
When Mick Foley done it, was definitely more tax.
There are some guys that will insist that they all are real, and Foley was one of those guys.
For Jericho,
in this modern age, specifically with the TNA, they go to mostly just worked.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's the reason why WWE had a behind the scenes video of them actually pulling the tax out of Jericho, which was freaking disgusting.
Yeah, they probably pulled the tax that were left in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They probably washed them off and then they said, oh, we got tax.
I'm like,
left.
Dude, you're 40, you're in your 40s, man. Why are you taking a bump?
46.
Like, dude, there's no point to take that. It did nothing for the match. I mean, that was the only time that anybody popped. I mean, that match was dead.
Yeah.
Nobody's cheered.
But
there
also,
was no
it also
noise.
Built another chapter to his career and his legacy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not
so,
that I like the dude.
Real quick, before we roll on into the news, we saw Enzo come back. And I think it's hilarious. I think the whole bit is hilarious. You know what I mean?
Dude was amped up too much, man. He had about 15 Red Bulls before he came out. He dropped the mic again. I mean, there was one
or
point
a little
where,
bit of cocaine.
Yeah, or that.
yeah, or that.
There was a part where Kaz like almost started smirking, and he was like, "Yo, settle down, man. Settle down. I got to do
I
my
will,
line."
But they're being real, so it's kind of it's kind of cooler to see that. You know,
I only
mean?
Have one complaint about Enzo.
Oh
and
boy,
it's,
the hair?
No, like I don't give. I don't
the
know.
Jacket?
The hair is cool.
I hate dudes that wrestle in sneakers.
Nah.
Dude, it's something where like I will put money down
he did
right
when
now.
When they first started, he didn't wrestle in sneakers.
Right, he had the boots.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put money down now that if he continues to wrestle
they're
in his Jordans, that he's going to end up with an ankle or knee injury, just like Rusev did when he was wrestling barefoot.
Yep.
And it's gonna sideline him again, and then Vince is gonna tag him as injury prone like he has with Sasha Banks and Daniel Bryan, and it's going to de-push him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, Enzo, I know you're not listening to this, but go back to the boots, bro. Trust me on this.
That, and that tag team is not going to be around for much longer, man.
You don't think so?
I think that they, Vince is in love with Kaz, and I think that the, and,
I agree,
and
but,
they are going to give him
Enzo's
sooner rather than later.
Kaz is not really
but
that
Kaz
great
has been handling himself on the mic pretty well these last couple of weeks.
But it's all scripted. His stuff
well, exactly.
You could tell his stuff from top to bottom is
he's
all
better,
scripted.
He's better than Roman.
Well, that's not saying.
Okay, so
lot.
What I'm saying is,
well, rumor backstage is that Enzo writes for Kaz.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not talking about the words. I'm talking about just the delivery of it.
His
and
delivery
is
still a little too stiff.
Yeah, it is honest. Stiff. Yeah, but it's at least better than Roman. I see him, and again, it's the body, it's the look, rather than. I mean, if that was the case, Roman wouldn't be where he is right now.
Yeah, but Enzo could
now.
Be a great manager at that point. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it could definitely turn into that
I hope
kind
they
of role.
Don't. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Dude, I just think it's one of the best things they have going. Well, I'm kind of sad the Vaudevillains weren't on Raw this week with the.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
And I was disappointed with that match. I mean, it was a squash match. I think it was like 6 minutes long. It was one of those where it's. I know Dixon and I predicted the Vaudevillains. I thought you'd want to see New Day do the chase.
Yeah.
But they didn't even get over in the match. They didn't even like have a chance to do any domination. And then New Day sneaks a win away.
Yeah.
And then they just disappear on Raw. It sucked.
Well, maybe they're selling something. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're.
It's entirely possible that one of them's injured or whatever else too.
But I do want to say before we finish with Raw, because there's two things with the Money in the Bank, but the pay per view for the main event. I know Kevin Owens was my number one draft pick, and AJ I think was your second. AJ, if not KO, AJ is easily the MVP on the roster and wrestler of the year so far for. WWE, that is, since he has come in, I would say his weakest match was Mania, and that was with Jericho, just because it was a little slow. But he has elevated Reigns. I mean, that match was pretty badass.
Wrestling wise, he's without a doubt. We talked about.
He's unbelievable. You know? Everything that
he deserves
does,
that tag of phenomenal.
Yeah, he really is. And Jim Ross was talking about
he's made Roman B minus from a B minus guy to maybe almost an A plus guy with his in ring.
Absolutely.
Because of what?
Yep.
Because they're allowing AJ, Roman, this is what you're doing. Roman, this is the spot we're working. Roman, this is why we're doing this. This is what, you know what I'm saying? So, and he's used to working big dudes. So, you know, it makes total sense.
And AJ does a really good job of selling. And I think, even though Roman still got a lot of work in that department, but I feel like Roman was getting better in
well,
that
AJ,
area.
AJ taught him the facial expression portion of it. And you can tell. I mean, because it was something that Roman didn't have in his repertoire up until he worked with AJ.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that match was. I hated the ending, of course, but that match was.
And
that
since we're talking
really
AJ,
good.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I have this gut feeling again that it's going to be Balor in the club, and AJ and two of the TNA guys that are down in NXT. Whether it's going to be Joe and Rude or
Rude and
Eric Young or whatever it is.
You know, it makes sense.
Aries, Austin Aries.
You know, he has. Oh yeah, would Austin Aries? You think they would bring up Aries? To
Aries is
that?
Fighting Nakamura
I
on the next NXT card.
The issue with Aries is that he's small.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
He's smaller than AJ.
So you want some bigger guys to go deck
in, especially with Joe.
Yeah.
You know,
you can have a Joe matchup with Gallows and Aries matchup with Anderson. And
Anderson
then
would
Bale
make Aries look tiny.
Yeah.
That's the sad
But you know
fact,
what? You bring up Rude. Aries, I mean, and then you got some beef there.
Or Rude.
I think Rude. Bobby Rude's the way to go, to be perfectly honest, because that dude can go.
But then, I mean, then they have deeper ties than even the club does with AJ. I mean, it totally makes sense.
It really makes sense.
I think
actually
that would be a really good run.
Because I was disappointed with the lackluster ending to, quote-unquote, the club or whatever called.
Well, it ain't done yet.
I know it's not. No, I mean, just in the sense, like, they didn't even get to have a run. They didn't do anything with it. It was just like, you know, do I want you to be part of me or not, you know, part of this match?
I think it's something that they're going to hold off and explore once the brand split happens.
Yeah.
Because whatever feud is there is going to be the top feud on whatever.
But I love that idea of the New Japan versus TNA battling on WWE television.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, that's really what
it would
be.
They went out and bought up all the talent. They can do whatever they want.
Yep. And they have to.
But you know what, though? People would enjoy the hell out of that. only because
that would get huge pops. Yeah, that would get probably the biggest pops.
And then, Vince would hate it because it would get bigger pops than his homemade guys. I mean, that's you know, at the end of the day, that is exactly
then Triple H and DX come in and squash everybody.
No. I think everybody.
No, that's what Vince would do.
I think, yeah, exactly. Right, right.
Vince and Triple H
bring
like,
back
nah,
the NWO.
Here comes X-Pac and Kevin Hall for one match pay per view.
Who's Kevin Hall?
Or Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. Jeez, it's a Friday, boys. I threw up my guts.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, all right, let's get into the news. Go ahead.
Wait, real quick. Before we do that, let's the big thing on Raw. What, dude, is Money in the Bank. That was a big thing.
We got next week for that.
No, as far as the people that got in, I watched SmackDown last night.
It sucks. I'm gonna tell you right now, the lead up in this, the lead into doing Money in the Bank blows.
Did you watch Raw?
It's not special, bro.
I thought those matches were.
The matches are great. It's not the matches.
But AJ versus KO, I was like, holy crap, which one of these guys?
Do you remember? Here's a question. Do you remember? Maybe you don't, because you know when we talk about older times, like you're completely left out.
Yeah.
But when they built things like this, there was a huge story behind all of it. They're not building stories. And listen, I love watching the match. Don't get me wrong, man. I like what they're doing with the guy, with some of them anyway. But they're just not, like, Money in the Bank should be a huge freaking deal.
Yeah.
And it just seems like
they're not planting any seeds for the
storylines. No, that's what I'm saying.
There was a nice segment on SmackDown last night that had the Money in the Bank in the ring, and Ambrose came down, talked about how he was going to do it, and then KO comes in, interrupts him. Then they kind of
many times have we done that?
No, but hold on. And then Sammy comes down, but then your boy Del Rio comes down.
Done it.
Del Rio's the new guy in the Money in the Bank.
This happens every year.
Here's the thing.
I know, least guys that. If you gave that Money in the Bank to any one of those so far that I picked, maybe Del Rio's my least favorite. Not because I don't like him, just because his character's kind of boring. It would be super exciting to you know the fan base because it's not the Ziggler's and Cena's.
Here's where it fails, and I get that everything is based off of moving into the next pay per view, and I totally understand that. Okay, Extreme Rules happens. We're done with Extreme Rules. Now this entire week leading up to the next week is promoing everything that we're going to put into Money in the Bank, right? So who's it going to be? Here's the matches next Monday night on Raw. You know what I'm saying? That way you can at least finish off some storylines, and then you're starting to build into some other ones. Or you build those matches on Raw and SmackDown, and then next week on Raw, now you have something, right? Now you got something to go into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And then you're like, oh, now I got to watch. Listen, we know Styles and Owens from, you know, ROH and all the, you know, the indies know that they can go, right? But a lot of people don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like you need to build that. Like, that's a huge, like, honestly, that could main event a smaller pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, totally, you know?
Or a special,
right. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think that they're building up things the way they should. That's all.
Yeah.
You know
I think
saying?
They, I actually think that a KO AJ for where they are right now, that could eventually be a Mania if you put the right storyline.
Yeah.
Mania main event. Like, because if you look at it, if you've taken Cena off the card because he's slowly, you know, taking his feet out of WWE, I mean, those are the top guys.
Right.
I mean, whether it's Roman or Brock or Ambrose, I mean, Owens and Zayn, like all those guys are at that level. Yep. If not, AJ is above all of them.
Here's what I think we're going to see within 2 years. You're going to see a guy like Cena. He probably will be gone. You won't see the Brocks come back. You won't see a lot of these so-called top stars, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to the Sami Zayns. You're going to have to go to the Baylors. You're going to have to go to the AJs, the Styles, or the Owens. You know what I mean? You're going to have to go to these guys, and you already have because they've done the work on the indies and TNA and ROH and all these other things. Well, Owens wasn't in TNA, but they've already done the work. All you have to do is repackage it to what you want it, and you got three top matches. I mean, Zayn and Owens, I never knew that they came up together. You know what I mean? I knew the ROH stuff, but you know what I'm saying? Like, as when he was El Generico, whatever the hell it was. Like, we know that, but nobody else does, and they did a really shitty job of telling that story.
I completely, yeah.
Because it came out of nowhere. Like, yeah. Okay, these two are going at it, going, and all of a sudden now we got the story, and you're like,
well, that,
what just happened?
That was one of my comments a few podcasts back where I said the week of the pay-per-view match between those two is like, oh, that's when, you had the video package. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you have this three, 4 weeks out and have it build?
I just don't
get
it.
But that is...
Right.
That's where I feel, and we'll get it. We'll get into the whole brand split, but that's where I feel it could the brand split can really benefit,
right?
Because now you're having a concentrated team, SmackDown, a concentrated team on Raw, and with separate rosters, and they're not going to, you know, mingle.
Right.
That you can tell those stories because they're gonna have to.
Yep.
Because what the hell are they going to fill on Monday Night Raw for three freaking hours? If you're taking half the roster, even if you sign a bunch and bring up people.
And move some up,
Who, what are you doing?
It's going to be nothing but video packages. How bad are you going to decimate NXT when you do this, you know, and those guys are going to have to build themselves off of, you know, off of being nobodies. I mean, a perfect example is Mojo and Ryder should be together on the roster already. It shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't understand. He must be doing something down there to screw up, because that dude should have been on the main roster already.
Now they're I have a Mojo piece in the news, which I think you.
I mean, I see all his tweets
it.
And his the dude's a party animal and everything.
Yeah,
but like he should be on the main roster.
Yeah. So. Well, and one last thing. What did you guys think of before? Now you're back. What do you guys think of the Flair?
I don't care. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Dude's old.
He looks sad on TV, man.
He did a really good job selling that.
I'm sick of it crying.
I get it, but like, here's the thing, man. Like, the more I see him on TV with Charlotte,
you're diminishing what he's doing.
Yeah, like it's hard
you're
to
diminishing
look,
what he's done in the past.
It's hard to look at this elderly, alcoholic, coke addicted.
Yeah, I so agree.
Wonderful guy from 30 years ago. Like, my memories of Ric Flair are the long hair. The in shape, the baby
style
blue.
And the profiling,
yeah,
baby.
The aviators.
Oh, yes. I just watched his last match yesterday or 2 days ago with Sting on the last match at Nitro, and I know that was in 2001.
Oh, he was all screwed up then. Too.
No, but even then, and there's a pause so we can edit this. And even then, he looked so much younger.
Yeah.
Than what he is now.
I was
like, holy crap. That was like 02?
17 years ago.
Yeah, 02, 03. Nah, I was like 14 or 15, 13. Yeah. I mean, he's aged a lot.
That was the one where he wrestled in a t-shirt, right?
Yeah. Right there at Panama City Beach.
Dude, and that was, he was messed up. He had the vertigo. He was just, Bischoff destroyed the guy, like, mentally.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And he was quoted as saying, and that.
Oh, in his book, he even goes into it.
Said that was the greatest night. Of one of the greatest nights of his wrestling career and the greatest night in the history of WCW for that to end.
Yeah, for those two, because those two had basically
not the match, for the company to implode and be bought out and be done because of what it was doing. It was killing the brand that he helped create in the 80s.
Awful. Yeah, but I honestly hate what they've done. And then even the backstage when he walked by Arn.
Yeah.
You just diminished the horseman to me at that point. You know what I mean?
I don't want to see fat Arn Anderson.
Dude, Arn got that belly. I was just like, I don't understand why big guys tuck their shirts in.
I don't know.
Like,
man.
Don't tuck your shirt in. It makes your belly stick out.
You know what?
Because
that's old school, bro. Like,
and it was like
Arn is old school.
It was
it's also dress code because
he's an agent. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had that all dark.
Was he more than an agent? He's like the top level agent.
Oh yeah,
him and Michael and Hayes.
He helps like
Hayes
do
is
the matches,
definitely
right?
below Arn Anderson on the total.
Oh,
pole.
I believe that. You know,
because Arn's not a racist.
No, yeah, there exactly. is that too.
What?
Let me tell you something, brother.
Oh no!
there we go.
No, I have a segment for your Hogan.
Oh God, here we go.
Yes. But supposedly that. He's not written off television, that Rick will be coming back in some way, shape, or form for the Charlotte storyline, that he has no issues with WWE. They're not getting rid of him.
No, I believe that.
Anything.
I just
there were rumors that, they didn't want him.
No, probably plugging Dana Brooks.
Dude, she is banging, though.
I don't like the fake titties, bro.
Wait, she's with Cesaro, isn't she? Didn't you tell? You taught me that on this podcast.
No, Sarah Del Rey.
Oh, Sarah Del Rey.
Sarah Amato, who is the trainer at NXT, is dating
Cesaro. And who did you just say?
Dana Brooks.
Oh, Dana Brooks. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blonde
God,
girl,
dude.
Fake titties.
My brain's all fake, over. Fake yeah, yeah. She was all booty. Over. She was styling, profiling. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's where a lot of people thought the storyline was going to go after Extreme Rules.
Yeah, whatever.
That he was like kind of setting up Charlotte.
Listen, I almost feel like they have screwed up the women's end right now, and they need to rebuild something. They had it going so well. The Natty and Charlotte thing didn't work, and now they're like, shit.
Well, the same could be said for the tag team division. It's like totally. they light a fire and then they just piss on it.
And
it fizzles out.
Pissed. Dude, I think that was like a dumpster fire.
Those
man.
Are the two amazing examples of exactly what the biggest issues for fans of WWE is.
Yeah.
You light it up, you're super excited. Wow. You have this awesome new day unicorn graphic for the tag team, you know, tournament, and everybody's excited where it's going to go, all this talent, and then boom, it just kind of disappears. And it felt like it lost its luster when Enzo went down with an injury, because then they couldn't
do
it.
Well, I think that was the plan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so they had to kind of put everything on.
They'll put it back together. I know they
will.
On the breaks.
So, all right, let's get in the news, man. We got 20 minutes.
All right.
Or less.
So
the big
news, SmackDown is going live on USA starting July 18th. So Dixon, you now have a 2-hour live program that you have to produce. So you do not.
Oh, they're going live.
Yeah,
well,
they're going live.
According to the Mohegan Sun, which has the SmackDown after SummerSlam, they have advertising that features AJ Styles, The New Day, Cesaro, Ambrose, Sami Zayn, Paige, and Naomi. So those are the advertised talents for the SmackDown
supposedly,
after SummerSlam.
Yeah, supposedly what they're trying to do with SmackDown is have a more athletic, sports-style roster. And
I'm really hoping that's where they end up putting that cruiserweight thing full-time.
Which would be nice.
I guess what their goal is that I'll run it down as far as the belts. But so, yeah, it's going to be a brand split. It's going to be live. So you'll have live 3 hours Monday, live 2 hours on Tuesday. And then, a pay-per-view on Sunday. Those will be the three live events. The draft will be on Raw the week before on July 11th. The decision to hold the draft was just decided the last couple of weeks. But as we know on the B-Show podcast, we've been predicting this since January and actually had our own draft in April, which I tweeted out. So if you want to go back and listen to see who Dixon and I picked as our top 10 draft picks for Raw and SmackDown, check it out. Vince, I guess, is really excited about this, and that he was like a huge proponent for it. For everything to breathe new life into the product. They're going to do double announce teams at the ringside during pay-per-views. Raw will call Raw, SmackDown in their matches. Both brands will be featured on the pay-per-view as of right now. So they won't be that SmackDown pay-per-view and then that Raw pay-per-view.
They never did SmackDown pay-per-view. It was always both brands.
No, it was separate. They had separate brands because I saw SmackDown pay-per-view with Undertaker and Staples Center. In
that
LA.
Was towards the end, though. It was always together. Like they went. No, it was all, maybe
it was Mania
and
SummerSlam.
The bigger ones.
Mania SummerSlam were same.
Rumble, Mania SummerSlam, and then there was
Survivor Series.
Were all dual pay-per-views, and then they would alternate.
The house show, in your house or whatever.
Yep.
So that's cool.
In Your House was way
before
that, brother. That was mid-90s.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Syracuse had it In Your House.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, buddy.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, that was after, and then right after that is when.
War Memorial?
That's when Vince wanted the dome for WrestleMania, and SU said no.
Yeah, I have a story behind that.
No. Great. You have a lot of stories. Wrap it up.
Jesus.
Go
He's
ahead.
Only on
go,
page
go
one.
John Cena is expected to be the top star for SmackDown. Roman Reigns on Raw. It is believed many NXT call-ups will help fill out the two main rosters. Many of the talents have no idea what will happen, where they're going to end up. Supposedly, there's going to be there'll be a world champion for each brand.
Which is dumb.
Yep.
And the IC US titles will be defended on separate shows. It looks like IC will be on SmackDown US, as far as rumors right now, will be on Raw. The announcers might be in the draft. Supposedly, Corey Graves might be bumped up to SmackDown, which would be kind of cool.
Well, what's
he's
name?
Pretty good
who's
at NXT.
The
Mauro Ranallo.
Yes.
He's awesome. I would love for Mauro to move to Raw.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Wasn't he SmackDown, though, right?
Yeah,
he's SmackDown. But with SmackDown going live now, and if they're going for more of the sports-oriented style wrestling, they're going to keep him there.
Dude, I'll be honest. Like, he killed it with New Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, and he kills it with UFC. I mean, he does UFC boxing. He's fantastic at it.
UFC boxing?
UFC and boxing. Oh. He does both.
What he doesn't UFC do does UFC, he does? Brother. He does.
He does Bellator. And he a does Bellator. Another.
Okay,
yeah.
So you do understand that UFC
is not MMA. He does done UFC before. Jeez and crow.
I love it when UFC is on Spike.
No, they're on Fox Sports 1.
Going forward.
Yeah, shut up, Dixon. I'm trying to get this news done. Gosh, I only have 18 minutes.
Yep.
The women's title and the tag team titles are, I guess, going to be on one show each. So there won't be a women's on the other brand. They haven't decided which time.
I'm telling you right now.
So you think the tag team goes?
Yeah.
And you think tag team goes SmackDown?
Yeah. Well, if the New Day's going, where do you think that's going? Listen, they're the dogs that are making the money in the tag division.
Here's
bro.
The thing: we talked about it earlier. You have 3 hours to fill. I don't see why you don't put both of those on there and have like the cruiserweight, like Dixon just mentioned, and put that on SmackDown. I mean,
here's the thing that's been stumped by since WCW was absorbed by WWE is why has there not been a TV television title?
Oh, the TV title, yes. Yeah.
Didn't that was a
WWE never had the TV title.
No, that was a staple of Saturday nights for years.
Didn't they have something in the Attitude Era? I know they had the hardcore belt.
No,
but
it was
they
the,
had
the European.
The European belt, okay.
Which turned into the U.S. belt, right?
No, the European title just got dropped. That's right. The U.S. title goes all the way back to the Kansas City promotion that Harley Race started in the 50s.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow. McMahon and Triple H will still run the creative team, but the head writers, Ed Koski and Ryan Ward.
Ryan Ward, so good.
Will pick up more power as the two teams will have more control.
Are they writing both shows or are they separate writers?
As of right now, they're going to have separate writing staffs. I don't know which one is going to be.
Well, for me, I hearken back to the end of the brand split when Heyman had SmackDown, and it truly did become the better show. Put Ryan on SmackDown, give me all the in-ring action, and you can keep all your male-oriented soap opera drama for Mondays, and then I'll just watch on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Why, I mean, why not let Heyman write? I don't understand.
He just doesn't want to do it anymore. He's clashed so much with Stephanie and Vince over the years that he's just happy to do the Heyman hustle. Yeah. And
he's got his own brand now.
You're right, he does. Yeah. He does. That's too bad.
I guess internally there was a split, or there still is a split with WWE. A lot of people, or half the people, want the brands to, you know, intertwine and intermingle and be on both shows.
Dumb.
And the others want it to be completely separate.
Instead of maybe the brand split, why don't we just see a complete split and NXT becomes something as big as the main, you know, so the main roster goes, you have NXT as the main roster, you have Raw, you know what I'm saying, you have SmackDown, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And then you what is it, Evolve? Now Evolve becomes that NXT full sale thing, you know, and NXT is that brand.
Yeah, I feel
that
this
would
brand
make more
split.
Sense to me. Do you know what I mean? Because we've been down this road before, and the reason they did the brand split is when they bought WCW and ECW, obviously. I don't know. I never really cared.
I think that if they take NXT to actual television, it becomes ECW on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
And they just murder it.
Yeah,
and on top of that, you have a whole different writing staff and a whole different creative team behind it. I mean, what's great about NXT...
It's called better.
Well, and it's also 1 hour, and it's taped. So, I mean, it's a lot easier to do it that way than two hours.
If they take Raw and they keep it the way it is,
yep.
Where there's a lot of promos, there's a few matches, there's a decent main, and you keep the women... The world title and the U.S. title over there, you're good. But for SmackDown, let me have the cruiserweights. Give me the tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the athletic guys that are going to make me think about WCW in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
When Jericho, Guerrero, Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko, and Rey Mysterio and all the luchadors came in all at once. And you were like, my jaw was on the floor because at that point, I had stopped being a fan
for a while. The undercard of those shows was awesome.
I was the dude that watched WCW and didn't care about the NWO and didn't care about Goldberg. Right. I was there simply because they had lucha wrestling.
Yep.
Because at the time, AAA and CMLL were not on or available on TV here.
Right.
You know, and it was also me trying to follow those guys from the mid 90s ECW that jumped into WCW. I mean, one of the dudes that I was a huge mark for, despite the fact that he's a maniac, is Perry Saturn. And that dude had it and blew it because he couldn't mentally handle the rigors of professional wrestling and being a star. I mean, granted, he was also paired with John Cronus, who was an even bigger head case than he was. But, you know, Perry was that dude that I think was the biggest missed opportunity of that era.
Didn't he, when he came to WWE, didn't he have, like, in love with a mop or something? What was it? It
was that was a punishment because...
It was a mop, though, right?
Yeah, it was Moppy.
Moppy.
And,
see, I do have a memory sometimes.
Perry jacked up a jobber for missing a spot. And when I say jacked up, I mean... jacked up
in like, ring
it turned from a wrestling match into a Perry Saturn's gonna murder this guy kind of thing, like where you're sitting and you're watching it and you're just like, oh God, oh God. Like it was almost like New Jack and Gypsy Joe bad. So like for me, it was just like, I knew something bad was going to happen. And that was when they gave him the moppy thing. And the fact that that dude got that over as a punishment angle proves the point. The dude had it.
All right, next.
You said a name that I actually have here, which is kind of crazy, but I'll get into it, and you can remember what you said. So supposedly, with all of this brand split that's going to be taking place and the roster going to need new bodies, there's going to be more cuts that should be coming in the next couple of days, and a lot of the roster is unsure, or some of the rosters are unsure. Who do you see going if you had to predict anybody's going to go, which surprises me, which means that, and I guess Vince said that they're going to bring in new people that have...
Well, they just signed 13 new people to NXT contracts that were all random athletes.
They're going to rake the NXT roster, and they're going to sign people from other promotions to fill those two main rosters. So if that's the case, you need people. Who are you cutting?
I mean, the first two names that pop into my mind are Heath Slater and Curtis Axel.
Yep. You probably see, you might see, well, would Bo go with that, though?
No, because his dad's an agent, his brother's Bray. Yeah,
right.
He's got family there.
He's good, man. I like
you
Bo.
Might see a couple of the girls go that aren't really that good.
Wouldn't shock me. Summer Rae.
Yeah. Nah, they like her a lot. She's just wrestling.
She doesn't do
again.
Anything, man. And she's also consistently hurt.
She was in a movie. She's an
what's
endorser.
What's her name? Natalie? No, the chick, the redhead chick.
Eva Marie?
Oh,
no, they got too much money behind her.
Yeah, why they keep putting money on her is
because
stupid.
She's on the Diva show, and that's E! Entertainment's number one program.
Yeah, well, so was Naomi.
So.
I like Naomi,
and she,
though.
Yeah. So
was Naomi. I wish she wasn't married to that Uso.
No, that's Cameron. No, Naomi. Yeah, you're right. Cameron
just
the
got
one
cut.
That they booted, yeah.
So, even with the losses to Reigns and KO, there's still a big push planned for AJ, which I really love that TNA angle if they bring up some guys to team up with them. So, we'll see there. So, touching on Mojo Rawley, looks like WWE will be signing their next great talent to enter the wrestling ring in a couple of years when... The Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, retires from football. Gronk said that he wants to join WWE. He's best friends with Mojo Rawley and said that he would...
Went to college together, I think.
He would team up with him or when he's on the Raw roster, come in and be in his corner.
That
so
doesn't mean anything.
It does to Vince.
Mojo will probably
I could totally see that being some kind
Who,
of
but you know what?
Well,
star element.
The thing that we're all forgetting here is that Vince is a huge Patriots fan.
Yeah.
He really genuinely is.
And
well,
Gronk is
a homie, man.
Yeah. And Gronk is a crazy mofo. Like he wouldn't
being,
care
being
about his
really
Patriot
being crazy
contract.
And then being wrestling crazy are two totally different
No, I
spectrum.
Think Gronk would be wrestling crazy.
No.
Dude,
he's going to be wrestling to hurt
him.
But,
although he was fantastic in Entourage. I'll give him that. He was one of my favorite cameos in that movie.
Yeah, he's just ones. A big old frat boy. Charlotte and Seth Rollins made the Sports Illustrated Fittest 50 list. Charlotte was number 24, and Seth
minus
came in 24.
I don't mind her face.
I do. She looks just like Rick.
She's actually gotten better looking in the last couple of months for me as well. Like, she's growing on me.
It's the boobs.
It might be that.
And she shows them
but
off
But I think
more
she looks good when she wears, like,
up.
Jeans and, like,
why is she dazzling her face? Why is she dazzling
like
her
bedazzle,
face?
I don't quite that understand. But I also don't understand why they color their hair hot pink or whatnot. Mick Foley had a funny meme about your boy Del Rio on Page. He put a pic out of Del Rio jacked with his shirt off, jacked up, and in front of a TV screen that said main event. And on the meme it says, meanwhile, Del Rio getting ready for the main event, ... in bed with Paige tonight. I guess he asked for Paige and Del Rio's permission before, and they thought it would be funny. So they are totally cool with people talking about how much sex they're having.
Whatever.
So
good for them, man.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Young couple, man. How old is Del Rio?
41, 42.
Oh, dang. He's that old.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he looks like he's in his...
Yeah, what's that?
He looks young, even though he has a mature-looking face.
Oh, he's Mexican.
Yeah, he's Mexican.
Legitimately Mexican, yeah.
Got that blood. He's got that tan blood.
That's why when you talk about how tan he is, he's not tan, dude. That's just him.
That's his color.
Yeah. No, listen, I know that's his natural color, but he's a little extra tanner than what I do.
He is naturally almond, bro.
For real.
Yes, but he's not almond right now. He's more like cinnamon.
And next.
And here is Dixon, brother. Hulk Hogan, weekly BS news update coming up for you. The New York Times reported that Hulk Hogan had Peter Thiel, the billionaire co-founder of PayPal secretly bankrolling his legal case against Gawker.
That was on TMZ last night.
And, well, exactly. I mean, that's why I give it to people. No, actually, I didn't. I got it from the website of of SEScoops.com. Follow those guys. They're pretty awesome.
How many websites do you actually go to?
The judge also allowed Hogan and Gawker denied Gawker their motion for...
Nobody cares.
Hogan fans care.
How many of them are left?
Actually, quite a few if you read his stupid Twitter.
Let me tell you something, brother. I got my Confederate flag. I want to wear it as a bandana.
I wish I still had the house in Florida.
See, this is why I write that and put that stuff in there. I want to hear Dixon go off. All right, keep going.
My ex-wife's still banging a young dude.
Yeah.
Is she? No, I think he dropped her.
The new wife, though, is pretty hot, though.
She looks like the old wife, except
likes.
But bigger muscles.
Who thinks Hulk had sex with Brooke?
I definitely do.
All three of our hands are being raised right now, listeners.
There's no doubt. It's a weird. Don't get me wrong.
If not, I mean, he at least touched her butt.
I'm not. If I was single and still drinking, yeah. I mean, there's a much I wouldn't do. Yeah.
She wasn't really.
Anyway, next.
All right. So last Friday, May 20th, was the 5-year. I don't want to say anniversary, but date that the Macho Man. Randy Savage passed. Growing up, I was a huge Hogan fan, but over the years, Macho is
Macho's best foil, I think.
He's easily my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, Hogan's best foil was Macho.
Oh, yeah. They were the best.
They legitimately had heat.
Yeah, they did.
And he was one of the best King of the Rings, not the best, with Macho King.
You ever heard
of
Macho Man rap record?
Uh-oh.
You have it?
Yeah, of course I own
You have not heard? Dude, how are you going to be this Mr. Insider guy and you don't know half of the stuff we bring up?
Because that's the point. I want to do this podcast so I can learn more.
Oh God! Gosh. No, sometimes you're a little needy.
Yo, usually you got to pay for classes like this, son.
Yeah, for reals.
I do, by spending all this time writing this freaking awesome news report.
Nobody asked you to write it, though.
So here's a cool little thing. Lanny Poffo, Macho's brother, tweeted a cool story.
Talking about the one-armed cat.
6 months before, the one-armed cat that he saved 6 months before he passed, and he named it. What do you name it, there, Mr. Know-It-All? JYC for his fallen friend, JYD, Junkyard Dog, who's also one of my favorite wrestlers.
Ritter.
You guys have a favorite Macho Man promo? Angle? Storyline?
So much cocaine.
Dude, just concentrate in the ring, man. So we're not talking about...
That's the thing! That's when he was at his best!
Storyline, angle.
You gotta go to the obvious one, and I know it's obvious, but WrestleMania 3, him and Steamboat, hands down, best technical wrestling match of all time.
Okay, that match, but then also
that angle. I mean, storyline obviously took out Steamboat's trachea with the ring belt.
Yeah.
That was a year-long feud that culminated in the best match in the history of professional wrestling.
My favorite was always when he teamed up with Sensational Sherry and, you know, him being bad and then ending up turning good.
This is the difference between you and the story.
I like the story, but he always had a great match within the story. That was just my favorite story of his. It's not like he's the Rock in the ring. By the way, Rock, you're awesome.
Ten times better.
So times here's better. Something also. 16 years ago this week on May 23rd, 1999, marked the extremely sad anniversary of Owen Hart's death. I did not. See this when I was growing up, I couldn't afford pay per views, so I never saw him.
See, because they cut away from it like within, and I don't think I looked for the footage. The footage,
but I mean, just like I didn't watch it live.
Footage does exist that WWE, I'm sure, has locked away inside a vault, inside another vault.
It's funny they say it says it's in a vault. It's a tape. It says, "Do not destroy. Do not duplicate. Do not view."
Yeah,
and it had for that exactly what it was. So. Yeah, I was poking around with it last night and seeing some pictures.
You can't find that on the internet anywhere.
Yeah, it's just some pictures where you see like kind of the aftermath, but nothing. But
sad day, man.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it. Yeah. Which
way to bring the podcast down, bro. Yeah.
Well, which
now
goes into
I'm
somebody
sad.
That
you're talking
mentioned.
About all my favorite wrestlers being dead.
Yeah. So, well, I want to do.
You
want to
talk about Jimmy
homage.
Snuka having stomach cancer? Come on, just kick me in the balls.
No. Listen. Listen, you're already infringing on my time.
I wanted you to pay homage to to your favorite wrestler. But going into that, so I was trying to find the video because I didn't know that there wasn't video out of that. And I didn't, it was one of those things where you, when you search, you don't really want to see it, but you're like, okay, it's there. So I'll kind of look, not look. Because again, I was a huge Owen Hart fan too. I didn't really want to see it. But which got me into this video, which I had never seen before. I know who he was, but I had never seen it. And you just mentioned him, New Jack. In the video with Vic Grimes, where he throws him off the scaffold. Have you guys seen that video? I will post that onto it. That is, I watched that thing like three or four times. I thought they threw a dummy and they were picking on the Owen angle, kind of like what WCW did.
No, that was just New Jack being mad that Grimes got stiff with him.
Yeah, so supposedly the backstory is Grimes didn't take a bump and almost, or didn't, got scared of jumping off something high and almost crushed his trachea. And because of that, New Jack here was tasing him and said,
it was a stun gun.
Yeah, a stun gun. And he goes, and Grimes is like, I can't feel my legs. And he goes, oh, I got you. Just come over here and just freaking threw him.
Yeah.
His body, when it hits that table and the table flips him into the ropes, I've never seen a human body being thrown around. Like, how did that dude not die? And how
training.
How did New Jack not get arrested?
Why do you think New Jack doesn't wrestle in New York State?
But how did he not get arrested for that? Like, you just say it's part of the show. Manga? Damn.
Yo, have you ever seen the mass transit thing?
Nah.
Where New Jack cuts a 17-year-old kid's head open so bad that, like...
Oh, yes, I have seen that. Okay. Yeah.
How about New Jack and Gypsy Joe?
I have not seen that.
New Jack in a high school gymnasium beating the snot out of a 72-year-old guy, like, while the fans are like, dude, stop. And he just keeps hitting him with a chair, hitting him with the
bell. Was the guy a fan?
No, he's like a legendary independent wrestler, Gypsy Joe.
So why did
he... He was like the original hardcore wrestler, I guess.
So how was New Jack still getting on people's shows and people...
Sells tickets.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
So, okay, you ran a promotion.
No. I was the head of security
for... You're head of security for a promotion. So how did... Would you have New Jack?
Never in a million... Well, he's not allowed in New York State.
No,
he has
but
so
I mean, would you have had
New York
him?
State. I would not have booked him, no.
Okay. So on to Kane is considering a career in politics for Knox County, Tennessee. He wants to run for mayor in 2018.
He's Can not you an American see citizen, is he?
Kane running for mayor.
Doesn't
I thought he was Canadian.
He's doesn't Republican.
Matter. Doesn't matter. As long as you just can't run for presidency.
Yeah, you can't be a president. Yep. You see him being the next Jesse the Body?
I don't care.
Okay.
Here's what I'll say about Glenn Jacobs as a guy. Very intelligent, mm-hmm. very well spoken, but very Ted Nugent.
Yes.
See, I didn't realize that until I was reading about this article.
Very
how Republican.
Right. Very. He is so far to the right.
He's a huge Trump guy.
Yeah, and then you've got Val Venus, who's the exact opposite. So Sean Morley is the super liberal, and he's also going to jump into politics in Canada.
Just made me like Val Venus even more. John Cena hosting the ESPYs on ESPN. This is kind of a big deal when you think about it, man, because they've had some big names. Seth Meyers, Jon Hamm, Jamie Foxx, Norm MacDonald, Justin Timberlake. So
how do you put Norm MacDonald on that list?
Norm MacDonald's a name. So it kind of segues into two things. One, that ESPN is really trying to make wrestling part of their culture on the network. It's their biggest night of the year, and be able to have wrestling be a main focus of that. And also shows that Cena's kind of taken
wrestling is
stepping
almost
off.
bigger than ESPN.
Oh yeah,
point.
It'd be their it'd be one of their highest rated shows
ESPN
easily.
I have to admit, as much as I hate on Cena, that he was hilarious in Trainwreck.
Yeah, great camera.
It was good.
Yeah, it was like, really good.
I look like I ate Marky Mark.
Yeah, he was real good. He came in and read for a role for one of the movies that we produced, and he really wanted it. He would have been fantastic for it, but Vince wouldn't let him do it because of the merch that he sells for the kids. He was just like, I don't want him to be a skinhead Nazi. Is who he would be chasing this group of guys.
American History X.
He was like, nope. Nah, it was kind of more like a Mad Max style film.
Movie. Put your mouth on the curb.
Yeah.
Next.
I'll tweet it out so you guys can take it out and watch it. Triple H recently tweeted on June 8th, which is my birthday, live on WWE Network, NXT TakeOver, the end. What do you
Still
think that means?
Over.
The end to what? To the feud between Joe and
yes.
Baylor, or the end to something with
Joe
NXT?
Joe and Baylor.
Okay. I told you about the Baylor tweet. ESPN, that 30 for 30 documentary for Ric Flair will be coming out in the fall.
Focused on his career in the 80s and post-plane crash when he broke his back.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. There hasn't been a weak 30 for 30 And to have one on Ric Flair will be pretty awesome.
I'm actually, as cool as it is about the Flair one, I'm more excited about the XFL one.
Yeah, that will absolutely be awesome. Enzo Amore and Sasha Banks are both returning to the ring this weekend, so Enzo will be performing. Here's something, since you guys know a lot about Flair, and I'm almost done, Smooth, don't worry. Former ROH owner, Kerry Silken, you ever?
42K.
Yep, the 42K. So I guess Flair is having a autograph signing with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and this guy says that he's going to show up and get his $42,000 that Flair supposedly owes him for an ROH ambassador role that he failed to complete.
It's true.
So that should be interesting.
Dummy, you paid him all that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing: don't give a drug addict the money up front.
No, woo! Never.
It looks like Neville will be returning in early September.
I don't think anyone cares.
Awesome news for NXT, Hideo Itami will be returning.
Work against Cruz or team with Cruz.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And Hideo Itami will be returning to the ring in the next few weeks. That'll be really cool. Hopefully he comes back the way he was.
I think he's the biggest bust.
And lastly, this kind of goes in for Dixon, former WWE head of security Jimmy Noonan talks about his duties while working for the company and how miserable Brock Lesnar used to be. So let's talk to our own head of security. What is, for your wrestling promotion, say what it is. Do you give me...
CW.
Yep.
Who's doing a show? We're doing a show New Year's Eve because Josh drinks a lot.
Awesome. So give us your best head of security story.
I don't want to.
Not going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I won't talk about throwing people down the stairs at the pastime. Two things instantly pop to mind. One is the night Jake Roberts came in and his teeth fell out during the match, and I had to like run to the back and grab something to scoop them up with, and all I could find was coffee filters and a plastic cup. Because I'm not going to touch that dude's teeth. That's gross. They've been in his mouth, and God knows what's been in that dude's mouth. So I scoop them up, put them in water, take them backstage. So that's one. It was pretty funny. People chanting.
That's awesome.
My one of my favorite moments of all time, and it's not because I dislike the dude, but it was just one of those moments where like you just kind of get lost in it. So Spike Dudley used to come in and wrestle Matt Heisen, Brother Runt, whatever you want to call him, and he turned heel, and he was at ringside standing on the inside of the bike rack, yelling at one of our regular fans who is called Cowboy Hat Guy. And yeah,
shout out to Cowboy Hat Guy.
Yeah, whatever. Hi, Ed.
you know his name.
Anyway, so Spike starts talking and like really railing on this dude's mom. It's just what heels do. So this dude has had a few drinks and took a swing at Spike. So I put him in a rear naked real quick. Like, so Jack Trades, who's our crazy older guy that runs around ringside, handles everything at ringside for us, literally starts like hitting me like, dude, let him go, let him go, let him go. And I'm in that red moment of being angry, like this is what I do, you know what I mean? So Johnny Moose, who runs Excite, who's probably like 4'10", 440, it's not exaggerating, comes over and literally tries to peel me off him. So I just literally face mush Moose to the ground on his ass. And then all of a sudden, Smooth, you understand this because you've done security in the past. You have that moment where like your adrenaline starts to kind of wear away, and then you realize in the moment that you're standing in a room full of 400 people that are all staring at you choke some poor bastard unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of went and I just let him go, and he fell to the ground, and I just walked back to the front door.
So when you let him go, are you like, oh, I just got busted type letting him go, or do you confidently like let him go and then walk back as the head of security?
Yeah, a little from column A, a little from column B. All
see, right. Here's the thing, though. See, but you saying that, yeah, like, head of security, that's the douche thought process of a lot of people. Now, I'm not just saying you at this point, but a lot of people that's the reason they shouldn't do security because it's never what it's about.
Yeah. And part of it, too,
I'm not calling
is
you a douche,
like,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you were. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, the head of security tag for 2CW is the truth, but it's also like the description of my character. Because there are times...
Finally, you've said it. I didn't want people to think that you were just, like, literally the head of security. Yes, you were, but you also were a character within that promotion.
Well, sometimes. It's a situation where, like, Dizzy got into it with Slick Wagner Brown one time, and they were brawling in the aisleway to the green room. And, you know, Dizzy leans in and goes, yo, I'm going to jump up, you grab me, and just carry me back through the curtain. Well, you don't do that with a real security guy, even though I am the real security guy. So it's like this blending and blurring of lines.
All right.
There you go.
All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of The Beast Show, my friends.
Have a good weekend, Pulse.
Snap into a Slim Jim in honor of the Macho Man.